So let's review. The Gemara begins by questioning the law set forth in the Mishnah that if Shabbos falls out on one of the final 6 days of Sukkot, the lulav is not taken on that day in the Beis HaMikdash. Amai, tel Rabbi Alma hu b'litchi Shabbos. The only reason the lulav would be forbidden to be taken on that day is because of Muktzah. But that is only us in Midrabanan. Shouldn't the Torah commandment of lulav override that? Rabbah answers that indeed the reason that it is forbidden is not because of Muktzah, but rather because Gzeira, Shemitlenu biyodoi, v'yelech etzel boki lilmoid, v'yavarena arba amis b'shusarabim. There's a decree against this because maybe someone will take his lulav to an expert to learn how to shake it and will inadvertently carry it for amis in the public domain, which would be a biblical transgression. Behind the time of the Shefer, behind the time of the Megillah. The Gemara then adds that this is also the reason why we don't blow Shefer or read the Megillah on Shabbos. The Gemara then goes on to discuss why on the first day of Sukkot they would take the lulav in the Beis HaMikdash, even if it came out on Shabbos, and concludes, El Rishon de'isa min ha'Teira, begvulin lo gazer b'hu, since the first day we are obligated to take the lulav min ha'Teira everywhere, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, therefore the Rabbanan did not impose their gzera. Ihachi ha'idna nami. If so, ask the Gemara, even today, we who live outside of Eretz Yisrael should be able to take the lulav when the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos. The Gemara answers, Anan lo yedina b'kivu d'yarcha. We don't really know exactly when the new month actually begins. Therefore, we cannot override Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of lulav on that day. On the other hand, in Eretz Yisrael, where they know when the new month begins, they do need to take the lulav even when the first day of Shabbos. The Gemara then begins to discuss the source that outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of lulav is min ha'Torah only on the first day. The Tanya, v'lekachtem lechem b'yem rishon. The pasuk says, and you will take for yourselves on the first day. V'lekachtem, and you shall take, teaches, shetehi lekicha b'yad kol echad ve'echad, that everyone is obligated to do this mitzvah. Lechem, to you, teaches, mishel lechem, that it must belong to you, b'yem, on the day, teaches, that you should take them even on Shabbos when it is the first day. Rishon, first, means you take the lulav on the first day, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Harishon, the, teaches that only on the first day does lulav override Shabbos. The Gemara analyzes this brisa further. Why do we need a pasuk to permit taking the lulav on Shabbos? Mechti, teltel ba'almahu. It's only muktzah, which is only in Yisrael Rabbanan. Amar Rava, le'initzucha el machshirei lulav. Rava answers that the pasuk is needed to permit machshirei lulav, things that are done to prepare the lulav, which might be asim in that Torah. This answer goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that lulav v'chol machshir derech nesa Shabbos, taking the lulav and all things that are done to prepare the lulav override Shabbos, because the word bayim from the pasuk of lakachtem lechem bayim rishon teaches that everything needed for this mitzvah may be done on this day, even if it falls on Shabbos. The Rabban, however, hold that bayim teaches that the mitzvah must be done during the day and not at night. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, learns this out from the end of that pasuk, v'samachtem lefnei ha'shem lekechem shivas yamim. You should celebrate before Hashem for 7 days, yamim, days, not nights. The Rabbanans say that learning from that part of the pasuk might make us think we compare the word yamim in this context to the yamim in the context of the mitzvah of Sukkah, which says, Basuk is teshvu shivas yamim. And just like that mitzvah is also done at night, so to lulav is also at night. Basuk gufa minalan. The Gemara goes on to discuss how we know that the mitzvah of Sukkah is also at night. The Tan Rabban, Basuk is teshvu shivas yamim. For 7 days you shall dwell in Sukkot. The word yamim implies the nights as well. The Gemara presents two other places in the Torah where the word yamim appears. It appears in the context of lulav and the context of the miluim, the inauguration of Aaron and his sons as kahanim. If we compare it to lulav, which is only done during the day, then Sukkot is only a daytime mitzvah. If we compare it to the miluim, which required the kahanim to stay by the Mishkan for 7 days and nights, dwelling in the Sukkot would be required during the day and night. The Gemara is unsure which is the more logical comparison. On the one hand, it would seem that we should compare davar shemitzvasa kalayim mi davar shemitzvasa kalayim. In other words, Sukkah, which is done all day, to the miluim, which required the kohanim to spend all day at the Mishkan, but not to lulav, which, as you lift it up, mitzvah is completed. On the other hand, it would seem that we should compare davar shemitzvasa l'dairis mi davar shemitzvasa l'dairis. In other words, Sukkah, which is a mitzvah that applies forever, to lulav, which also applies forever, and not to the miluim, which were only for that initial inauguration. The Gemara concludes that we really know this from Gzeirah Shavah between Sukkot and Miluim, as it says the word Teshvu in both places. Just like the Kohanim dwelled at the Mishkan day and night, so to the mitzvah Sukkot is during the day and night. The Gemara then begins to discuss the mitzvah of Arava, which was performed all 7 days of Sukkot, and that it overrides Shabbos if the seventh day fell on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, Arava b'shvi mai time adachi Shabbos. Amar b'yechanon, k'dei l'farsama shehi min ha-Torah. B'yechanon says it overrides Shabbos to show that it is min ha-Torah. Although this reason should apply to lulav as well, the Gemara explains we don't take the lulav all 7 days, gezer mishum derabba, because the rabba's decree that one might carry it in the street. Although this decree should really apply to the rabba as well, the Gemara says that since only shluchi bezdin ma'isi law, agents of the court bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, we're not concerned that they will violate Shabbos. However, lulav l'kol maser, everyone has their own lulav, and there is a greater chance that someone might violate Shabbos. Ihachi kol yom min ha'litchi. If so, the rabba ceremony should override Shabbos no matter which day of the Yom Tov is Shabbos, not just when it's the seventh day. The Gemara answers that if the Arava ceremony was permitted on any day that Shabbos fell out on, asid lifik fuke belulav, people would treat lulav with less honor because it only overrides Shabbos on the first day of Yom Tov. V'litchi b'yom tov rishon. So why does Arava not override Shabbos on the first day just like lulav? The Gemara answers that the Rabbana were concerned that people might say that we only override Shabbos for lulav, which is a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah, but not for Arava. Since the mitzvah of Arava is not explicitly stated in the Torah, some, the Beisusim, who did not accept the words of the Chacham, looked to belittle this mitzvah. Therefore, the Chacham looked to strengthen it and decreed that the Arava should have an independent day where it could be Deich Shabbos. The seventh day was chosen so as to set apart from the other days since it's the end of Yom Tov. Although, as we learned earlier, there is no concern that the Arava might be carried in the public domain, we still don't do Arava on Shabbos since the destruction, because anam lo yedinim b'kivur de'yarcha, and we cannot override Shabbos. In Eretz Yisrael, however, they would be able to perform the Arava ceremony on Shabbos, but as Barhedya said, lo ikla, the seventh day never falls on Shabbos due to calendar calculations. However, Ravan and other who came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael said ikla v'lo idachi, that the seventh day could fall on Shabbos, but the Arava ceremony does not override it. V'lakasha, if so, the Chacham look to strengthen the mitzvah of Arava, then why shouldn't the Arava be deicha Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael? Rav Yosef answers that we don't do the ceremony since the destruction because maybe the actual mitzvah was not to walk around with the Arava, but rather just to place the branches upright around the Mizbech. And since there is no Mizbech today, the ceremony doesn't override Shabbos. Abaye challenges Rav Yosef that the Mishnah taught lulav and the Arava in the same phrase to teach us that malulav benetila af Arava benetila. Just like the mitzvah of lulav is done by taking, Arava is the same way. Rav Yosef does not accept this proof, plus numerous others that Abaye opposed against him. However, at the conclusion of this discussion, Abaye finally presents a braisa that refutes Rav Yosef. The braisa teaches that pam achas chal shvi shel Arava liyis b'Shabbos, one time when the seventh day of Yom Tov fell out on Shabbos, the Beisusin came into the courtyard of the temple and hid the Aravas that had been brought there before Shabbos under some rocks. Amei Aretz, some ignorant people, retrieved them from under the rocks, and the Kahanim brought them and stood them up around the Mizbeach. The Brice explained that the Beisusin did this because she'ein Beisusin meidin shechibar Arava doyechas Shabbos. They didn't believe that waving the Arava overrides Shabbos. The Gemara says that since waving was mentioned, we see from here that they would indeed first take the Aravas in their hand, and then they would stand them up around the Mizbeach. The Gemara concludes that this is a solid refutation of Rav Yosef, and the mitzvah of Arava was the taking of the Arava, not standing them up around the Mizbeach.